If you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to invite you to open it up to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, where God spoke to a man named Ezekiel and literally gave him one of the hardest assignments ever given to a human being. How many of you know, oftentimes God will give you a hard assignment? And those hard assignments can come with great encouragement, but we have to be prepared to hear what God says to us and be able to walk in that. And so what God is doing to Ezekiel is he is speaking to him. He has just given him a clear vision of who he is in chapter 1. And today we're going to pick up in chapter 2. But God gave Ezekiel a clear vision of how powerful God is and how God works, and gave him a fresh vision of who he was. And then he begins to speak into Ezekiel and say, now, here's your job, Ezekiel. You need to go to some people who don't want to hear what I got to say, but you need to say it anyway, because I see where they are and they need to move from where they are to where they can be. In other words, I got a fresh vision for their life. But until they realize where they're at and why they're in the place that they're at, then they never can receive what I have in store for them. And so, Ezekiel, you need to go to this people and you need to speak to them. That would have been the Israelite people, and they were in captivity in Babylon because they had rebelled against God's goodness. And so God speaks to Ezekiel and he says, go and speak to these people. And so today we're gonna look at what God told Ezekiel, and then what we're gonna do is we're gonna apply this word that God gives Ezekiel to the local church. Because that's the assignment of the local church, right? Is to be in the world, but not to be of the world. It's to basically step in and change culture and not let culture change you. It is to begin to share that people have missed at God's glorious standard, but God has given a way for them to get it right through Christ Jesus. In other words, the Bible says all have missed the mark of God's glorious standard, missed the target of God's glorious standard. And God don't only want to bring us the bad news, but he's got to bring us the bad news before we can really understand the good news. And so the Bible says that the people of God are to present that people have missed, they have sinned. That's what the word sin means. It's missing the bullseye, missing the target. That people have missed, and then began to share with them God's provision for getting it right, which is Christ Jesus. We know it today in our world. And as Jesus begins to help us understand that we've missed, he begins to explain to us how we can be transformed and hit the target of God's glorious standard for our life. Because God has a standard for our life. He has a purpose for our life. He has a vision for our life. But the enemy wants to take us off track and make us miss that vision. And so the church's job is to present this good news of who Jesus is to the world around them, and then invite them into being transformed by God's gracious spirit, and then move forward in life. And so we're glad you joined us today, and we're gonna learn some incredible things from Ezekiel's life. We're gonna read through 14 verses, chapter 2, and then we'll talk about it for just a few minutes. So again, a difficult task. How many of you here today are parents? Anybody a parent in the room today? Yeah, difficult task, right? How many of you lead an organization? Anybody, any leaders of an organization? It's a difficult task sometimes. How many of you have a group of friends that you want to take on a journey and do amazing things with them? You know, again, it's a difficult task sometimes. And so again, God speaks to Ezekiel about the difficult task. Chapter 2, he tells him, he says, stand up, son of man. He's just, again, he's on his knees because he's worshiping God for who he is. He just got a clear vision in chapter 1 for who he is. And then all of a sudden, God speaks again to him and says, get off your knees. He says, stand up, son of man, said the voice. I want to speak with you. And then in verse 2, it says, the Spirit came into me as he spoke, and he set me on my feet. I listened carefully to his words. He said, son of man, I'm sending you to the nation of Israel, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. In other words, here is the assignment I'm giving you. And Ezekiel was among these people who were in captivity in Babylon. And God says, I'm sending you to these people to explain to them where they are and why they are there. And then a little bit later on, I'm going to speak to them about how they can be transformed and changed and step into a new life with me and move forward with purpose. But Ezekiel, right now, I need you to go to the people and talk to them about why they're in the place they are and speak to their heart. And then he goes on to tell Ezekiel, he says, they and their ancestors have been rebelling against me to this very day. They are a stubborn and hard-headed people. Anybody got teenagers? Come on, parents. But I'm sending you to say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or refuse to listen, for remember, they are rebels. He goes on to say, at least they will know that I have had a prophet among them. Son of man, do not fear them or their words. Don't be afraid, even though their threats surround you like needles and briars and stinging scorpions. Do not be dismayed by their dark scowls, even though they are rebels. In other words, don't be dismayed by the way they look at you. He goes on to say, you must give them my message, whether they listen or not. But God goes on to say, they won't listen, for they are completely rebellious. Son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not join them in their rebellion. You're to be in the world, but you're not to be of the world. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Ingest what I'm getting ready to give you, Ezekiel. Then I looked and I saw a hand reaching out to me. It held a scroll, which he unrolled, and I saw at this particular time on this scroll, I saw on both sides, they were covered with funeral songs, words of sorrow, and pronouncements of doom. And so God gives Ezekiel a vision of a scroll that he must ingest and he must speak to this group of people who had rebelled against God about why they were in the place they were in. Now keep in mind a little bit later on as Ezekiel, as this book unfolds, God speaks to Ezekiel again and he tells him, now that you told them why, he says, now you're gonna go and tell them how I can make them come alive and do greater things through them. But first of all, Ezekiel, you need to go tell them that they have missed the mark of my glorious standard. They have rebelled against me and something needs to change. They don't have to stay in that place of captivity. I can bring them out, but they're gonna have to turn their hearts away from the things they have begun to worship with their lives and turn their hearts back towards me, because I want them to know I want the best for them and I have the best in store for them, but somehow, some way they have been deceived and they have turned their heart towards the things of these other nations. He says, Ezekiel, I need you to go say the hard stuff. Now again, it's difficult sometimes because we all like to be the cheerleader, don't we? In other words, we wanna say the good stuff. You're a winner. Yeah. You're amazing. You're incredible. Everybody can score a touchdown. So here, let's give everybody a trophy. Even if they're losing. And the furthest thing from the truth is to tell people they're winning when they're really missing and losing. And one of the most difficult things to ever speak into the heart of somebody is the truth of why they are missing and then begin to invite them to change, because it can come across as judgment. I know when my wife Kim comes to me and tells me something I'm doing wrong, I'm like, why you judge me like that? So some of you parents, you can identify with me right now. You really want to tell the kid, you know what they're doing wrong, so you can speak into them how to get it right. But a lot of times they want to, they've kind of gone their own way and know my way is the best way. No, you see, God's word says his ways are higher than our ways. But oftentimes we don't want to see it his way. It's easier to see it the way we want to see it. Then we end up sometimes in a place that we don't desire to be. And somebody needs to come into our life and say, here is why, you know what, you're living in this misery, in this captivity. Now, the interesting thing is when you go and you share that with somebody, you can expect not everybody is going to receive what you have to say, but there will be those who will turn away from missing and want to turn away to getting it right. I'm under the full belief the reason God sent Jesus into the world is so that we could see perfection. We could see exactly what perfection looks like. The Bible says he is the visible image of an invisible God. He is God in the flesh. He is here on earth, the Bible says, so we can see what perfection looks like. And as we see what perfection looks like, we can begin to understand that none of us have hit that mark yet. But the Bible also says that he sent perfection into the world. And because we are imperfect people, this perfection died on a cross so we could have, not only can we see perfection, but so we can have a connection to an almighty God. And see, this is where a lot of people miss it. Jesus came into the world to forgive us of our sin. He rose from the grave with great power, the Bible says, so we could see that we miss. And Jesus didn't come only into the world so we could see that we've missed, but he has given his spirit to teach us how to get it right. And so again, let's go to an archery lesson for just a minute. An archery lesson where you would have a person shooting a bow and arrow at a target. And if that person was, the target was in this spot, but that person kept aiming and shooting over there, and they were going to get a prize for hitting the bullseye in this spot, but they kept doing that, how loving would you be not to tell them, hey, why don't you move to this direction a little bit? And how loving would it be not only to tell them to move in this direction, but then begin to give them a way to move in that. In other words, begin to show them how to move in that direction. See, this is the whole purpose of the life of Christ, is to show you and I how to move into the right direction. And God is so good that none of us have to keep on missing the mark of his glorious standard, because he has given perfection in this world, and you can turn away from missing your rebellious state. I'm just going to keep shooting this way anyway. I'm going to keep doing it this way anyway. The Bible says, no, God has sent his way, and if we will learn to put our faith in his way and turn our heart towards that, he'll begin to coach us to greatness. But most people want to keep doing it the way they want to do it. And the reality of it is, my friend, that's what the Bible refers to of dying in our sin. In other words, you don't have to die in that state of mind. You can trust what God has to say. And the message that we need to be bringing to people is God sees you where you are, and he comes to you in that spot. He forgives you of missing the mark of his glorious standard. But my friend, he wants you to follow him and get it right. There's no better news to the world than to recognize that they have missed, and God has provided a way to get it right. And God has called the church, that would be you and me, the ones who have been called out of darkness into the wonderful light, to bring this message to the world. That's what it means to to repent, turn away from your sin, and start following God. That's the predominant message we have for the world. And so, again, if we're going to bring this message to the world, Ezekiel chapter 3 is sort of like a commentary on how to do Ezekiel chapter 2. How to bring this message, because God begins to speak to Ezekiel again. He says, you need to ingest this scroll. Ingest the word. Let it get in you so it can become a part of you, so you have the courage to stand up and deliver what I've got to say to the people, because I want the people to come out of that place into the fullness of who I desire them to be. And so I wrote down a few notes in Ezekiel chapter 3 that I'd like to share with you today, because I think if we're going to be the church that brings this good news message to the world, we need some coaching in how to do that. And in how God speaks to Ezekiel shows us how to do that. The first thing I wrote down is I got to have a heart like a sponge. Everybody say, a sponge. What does a sponge do? A heart like a sponge. What does a sponge do? A sponge absorbs. But it don't just absorb to sit on the side of the sink and sour. It absorbs moisture so it can pour whatever it absorbs out, and you can wash some dishes with it, hopefully, or a car with it, or however you feel. But it's something that absorbs. And what God is telling Ezekiel, I want you to have a receptive heart. I want you to receive what I got to say, this doom and gloom I've got to say about the condition of people. And then as I share with you how you people are in the state that you're in, I'm going to reveal to you to bring this message to the people, but I'm also going to reveal to you about a little bit later on about how they can come back alive. And we're going to be looking at that next week. It's, you know, if you want to go read ahead, Ezekiel 36, 37 along in those chapters or whatever else. But if we're going to have a heart like a sponge, we got to have a receptive heart. Look what it says there in Ezekiel 3 verses 10 and 11. He says, son of man, let my words sink deep into your own heart first. Listen to them carefully for yourself, and then go to your people. In other words, let these words transform you first, and then go and begin to share it with the people. You know, the Bible says the word of God can work in all of our hearts. It says it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching. It is useful for rebuking. It is useful for correcting, telling you you're missing. It is useful for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what I want to encourage today is to be a church that absorbs, that has a sponge-like heart, a heart that is soft towards what God has to say. And not only a soft heart towards what God has to say and suck it up, then have the courage to pour it out and begin to share it with others. But what I've discovered is most of us, we want to absorb, not all scripture, but we want to absorb some scripture. In other words, the parts that I agree with. I don't always want to absorb the parts, all scripture, because if I absorb all scripture, that means all scripture is inviting me to change and turn my heart towards God. And so I wrote this down in my journal many, many years ago. If I want a holistic approach to life, I have to have a holistic approach to scripture. In other words, what we like to do is edit the Bible. The parts we think are applicable to us is the parts we receive. But the Bible says all scripture is God-breathed. God spoke, and it's written by humans throughout the ages, but it's God-breathed. And it's useful. It's useful. It helps us see that we're missing so that we can begin to be forgiven and get it right. And so it's useful to us. But what we like to do is, let's just say, in relationships. Well, I don't like what it's saying about relationships, so I'm not gonna let that part change me, tell me I'm missing so I can get it right. I'm just gonna ignore it. Or parenting. You know, I wanna be liked by my kids. I want them to like, I wanna be their buddy and their friend. No, you're their parent. And you can't be their buddy and their friend, but God put you in their life to lead them. And again, you know, it's sometimes difficult because when you're trying to lead a kid, oftentimes that kid gives you pushback. You're like, I'm just wore out. Slip, do what you want to do. But God calls us to have endurance and keep on keeping on. When it comes to finances, again, a lot of us want to edit what God has to say in that area, but all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for correcting me how I'm doing it wrong so I can get it right if I'll choose to repent and turn from my way and start doing it His way. So I have to have a soft heart towards the things of God, and I have to realize that I have change that needs to happen in my own life over and over, but I also have to have the ability to stand before people and share with them something needs to be transformed and changed in your life, not in a judgmental way, but in a way that begins to let them know it's not right. The church has a place in this world. And the church needs to stand firm on the word of God. And it doesn't mean I got to stand on a street corner and protest everything that comes by. But what it does mean is I need to know the word of God. And in the seasons that God calls me to speak it, I need to speak it and invite people to change. But get ready. When you do that, you're going to get pushback. God has called His church to be people who love the world, show grace to the world, be faithful in the world, and bring truth to the world. And we are the people to bring the truth of God's word. In other words, and if we're gonna do that, we have to have a soft heart towards God's word, believe it in our heart, but we also have to have a soft heart towards people and believe that God can change them. And so here at Valorous Church, everybody's welcome. Because we believe God comes to anybody where they are. In other words, God will speak to you no matter what state of you're living in. And I believe that with all of my heart. So we're accepting of all people, but we don't always accept everything people brings into the family. Because the reality of it is, it's God's inviting people to come to Him, leave some stuff behind, and step into a right relationship with Him so together we can begin to shine the light of Christ into the world. And so God's not saying, He's saying, come to me in the middle of your sin, but I'm so good, I'm going to show you that you're missing, and I'll show you that you're missing, and I'm going to invite you to receive the forgiveness and get it right and do a journey with me. In other words, I'm too good to you to leave you where you are. So the church has to have a soft heart when it comes to people. We have to love people for right where they are. But we don't always have to accept everything people brings into the family. And God's calling us to sharpen people up and say, God's inviting you to change something. Remember, this is a hard assignment that God's given Ezekiel. But Ezekiel 3 is kind of saying, Ezekiel, here's how you're going to do it. So I got to have a soft heart. Next thing I wrote down is I got to have a hard head. Soft heart like a sponge, hard head like a rock. Get this imagery if you want to make a difference in the world. Look what he says to Ezekiel 3 verses 9 and 11. He says, I've made your forehead, Ezekiel, as hard as the hardest rock. So don't be afraid of them or fear their angry looks, even though they are rebels. Then he added, son of man, let all my words sink deep into your own heart first. Listen to them carefully for yourself, and then go to your people in exile and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And Ezekiel, here's what he says, do this whether they listen to you or not. In other words, know the truth, Ezekiel. Stand up, share the truth, and share it whether you are popular among them or not. And see, this is difficult because we like to be liked as people. And sometimes one of the most difficult things to do is to share. And again, I really think God's saying, no, you don't come with a judging spirit. You come with a humble spirit. And you know that we've all missed the mark of God's glorious standard. But you also know that God called us to get it right. And you embrace that with your own heart and your own life. And you're a work in progress. And you realize other people are a work in progress. But you have to have the courage to invite them to stop doing one thing in order to get healthy and start doing another thing. Let's use a doctor, a medical doctor, for example. You can go to the medical doctor. And the medical doctor can say to you, I can extend the days of your life. Now, we all know that no human being, no medical doctor has control over how long a person can live. But a medical doctor has knowledge of how to maybe let you live a little bit healthier lifestyle so that it can extend the days of your life. But let's just say you go to the doctor with a problem and the doctor says, look, I know how to make your life a little bit better. You need to stop doing this. You need to stop ingesting certain things into your body. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's some form of a drug, maybe it's some form of eating or whatever else. But you could extend the days of your health and your life if you would stop doing these things. And so the doctor's responsibility is to basically tell you, give you knowledge of what he knows. You need to stop doing this. But the doctor will also say, and if you stop doing this, you're going to begin to progress and eventually you're going to get healthier and do right. But again, the rebellion of people is like, I know you said that, but I like to eat the way I like to eat. Again, and I'm here to declare to you today, that's how we are when it comes to the things of God. God invites us to change. God, I like to indulge in my appetite way too much to change and become healthier and get it right. See, this is what the enemy begins to do, is ingest you with temptations and things in your life so that you just as soon to die in those things than to turn your heart towards God and get it right and become healthier and become all God's created you to be. But what we have to understand is he's saying, Ezekiel, you got to have a hard head when it comes to speaking this stuff, because these people are going to be hard-headed. They're going to want to stay where they are. But I love what he says in Ezekiel 3, verse 17. He says, son of man, he says, I've appointed you as a watchman, as a person to help them, as a watchman for Israel. Whenever you receive a message from me, warn people immediately. If I warn the wicked, saying, you are under the penalty of death, but you fail to deliver the warning, he says, they will die in their sins. And I will hold you responsible for their death. Ezekiel, I'm going to hold you responsible for their death because you didn't tell them that they were getting it wrong and how to get it right. But look what it says. If you warn them and they refuse to repent and keep on sinning, they will die in their sins, but you will be saved. You will save yourself because you have obeyed me. Let this speak to your heart today. Your responsibility is to be like the doctor, to understand what's making somebody unhealthy. You're to speak that truth into their life and encourage them to get on the journey and start doing it right. But you can't go home at night being responsible for their actions. And basically what God's telling Ezekiel is I'm giving you a word and it's your responsibility to bring the word, to share with the world who I am and how they're missing the mark of my glorious standard, how they're living a lifestyle of sin and they need to repent and turn their heart back towards me and I will begin to do amazing things in their life again. He said, Ezekiel, you need to bring this word, but keep in mind, there's gonna be some people who rebel against this word, but Ezekiel, my promise to you is if you do what I've called you to do, I don't hold you responsible for them living in this condition. Parent. God is calling you to be a parent. God is calling you to correct your kids. God is calling you to coach your kids. And he's holding you responsible to do every dime of that. Okay? But if you do it, listen to me, if you do it and then they choose to go in their own direction, you know what? That is their choice. That is not your choice. And what I need to say to you today is you can only influence people for a season. You can influence them, but you're never responsible for somebody else's actions. The doctor's not responsible for your actions. And if whenever he's told you how to do something, that is his responsibility. Your responsibility is receive it and let it transform you and change. My friend, if we're gonna bring this good news to the world, we have to have a hard head with our responsibility. We can only influence people, but we cannot be responsible for their choices. This is a word for counselors today. Because there's a lot of counselors that speak the truth in the people, but they also wear the people's problems. My friend, God has called you to be a truth speaker. He's called you to speak the truth of how you can change. He's called you to challenge and stay with people and work with people and help them take those steps. But you won't sleep at night if you begin to let everybody put their problems on you. God didn't call, he called us to carry each other's burdens, but he did not call us to be responsible for other people's actions. And what happens a lot of times, people get sucked into being responsible for other people's actions, and God didn't call you to be responsible for their actions. He's called you to be responsible for, to be an influence. The church at large has to have a hard head when it comes to the things of God. They have to share it, but we got to understand we only have the power of influence. God can change people. We can share the message, but they have a responsibility to respond to it by faith. And we have to stay diligent at sharing the message. We have to have a sponge-like heart. We have to have a head like rock. And we have to put gloves on our hands. I wrote it down this way. If we're gonna make a difference in the world, we have to have willing hands. And so what the gloves represent, the willing hands. Look what it says there in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14. Ezekiel says, the Spirit lifted me up and he took me away. He was speaking some hard stuff to me, inviting me to change. He says, he took me away and I went. Everybody say, I went. That's willingly. I went in bitterness and turmoil. In other words, he invited me and I was feeling bitterness and turmoil for what he was inviting me to do in my assignment. He said, but the Lord's hold, it was on me so strong. In other words, what Ezekiel is saying is God spoke to my heart about bringing a life-giving message, inviting people to change so he could speak into their life and help them to get it right. And he says, I knew whenever I was gonna tell them that they were missing, he said, it was gonna be a hard thing to do. It wasn't always gonna feel good. He says, but I went anyway. He says, because my courage and my strength comes from God, from who he is. It's not built on being willing to do it because of what I get from other people, whether they resist me or not. And what I think the church has to understand is when we talk about serving, we're coming with humble, willing hands, and we're serving because God has invited us to follow our leader, who is Jesus, who came to serve humanity, to seek and to save that which is lost. But we serve because it's the calling on our life from the God of the heavens. And we willfully say, I'm going to work my hands. I'm going to work my gifts. I'm going to work the good gifts. Not because of the way people's going to respond or not respond. I'm going to do it because it's the calling in my heart and on my life. And I'm going to step into it. And I'm going to invite other people into the game. And I'm never going to quit because it's the calling on our life. I love the New Testament writer. His name is Paul. He wrote a lot of the letters in your New Testament. But he says this. He says, I've finished the race. I've fought the fight. I've finished the race. And I've remained faithful to the end. God's calling you to remain faithful. The enemy wants to snuff you out. The enemy wants you to have a heart that's not something that will soak in the Word of God. He wants you to have a soft head, and he wants you to be influenced by every idea and every thought around the world. And he wants you to not have willing hands. He wants you to have a bitter heart and not step into having willing hands. That's the tactics of the enemy. God comes into your life and he gives you a soft heart, a hard head, and he gives you a willing spirit so that you can make a difference in the world. Amen. You gotta learn to recognize the difference. God has called his church to step up and be an Ezekiel in a world that desperately needs to hear the good news message of you need to turn from your sin, from your misery, turn your heart towards God and begin to help him speak life into you so that you can be who he's designed you to be. God is not a stagnant God. He's a God that wants us to put our faith in him. And not only put our faith in him, but remain faithful to the end. So the calling is to be like Ezekiel. And let God speak to your heart today to do amazing things. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. God, I thank you so much for being a part of your church. And God, it's not always easy advancing your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And God, sometimes people are gonna be hard-headed and they're gonna resist what you wanna bring into their life. But God, give us the courage. Give us the bravery. Give us the valor to step in and bring your goodness, to bring your truth. God, to step in and see people for where they can be and not where they are. Help us be the church in the community that shines bright, that stands on the firm foundation of Christ and opens our heart and our hands to serve those around us. God, I pray for change to happen. I pray for repentance to happen. That God, somehow, some way, your church will become a light in the community and the community would change. The city would change, the country would change. The world would change because your church stands firm with the good news, continually inviting people to repent of their sin, turn their heart towards God and his goodness, his name is Jesus, and rise up and become who you've designed them to be. So God, I pray today if there is a person here that has not put their faith in who Jesus is, today would be the day they realize that they're missing the target of your glorious standard. They're a sinner in need of a Savior. And God, they would begin to see Jesus through the lens of one who come to forgive them and transform them and begin to help them hit the target of your glorious standard. God, I pray your spirit would move in the hearts of people, men, women, boys, and girls. And God, we would see you do the unbelievable and begin to make dry things come alive. We pray this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen.